Welcome to the Shalayim of the Hausman Stern Kinnis Tshuva lecture series. We'd like to acknowledge the late Judy and Gerson Hausman, who endowed the Hausman Stern Kinnis Tshuva annual lecture series in memory of their parents, Elias J. and Mary Stern, and Moshe and Chava Hausman. It is my distinct honor to introduce Reb David Miller, a consummate Rebbe and mentor, someone who always inspires us to tshuva and self-improvement by his teachings and example, to deliver tonight's drasha on the topic, what is the consummate tshuva?
Thank you very much, Rav Bednarz, for the introduction. My father, after whom this Beis Medrash is named, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, always would introduce his speeches with the phrase, "Dear friends." I feel that's very appropriate currently. There are many of you who are currently friends who share a Beis Medrash here during the course of the year, and there are many with whom I've shared a Beis Medrash previously, both in Eretz Yisrael and in YU. So, dear friends. I would like to give, if possible, a classic tshuva drasha, a classic in the sense of what many of us stem from, Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, who gave tshuva drashas yet in New York. That's how he would begin. He would begin with a Rambam, and then, in explaining the Rambam, try to explain a concept that would go. That would go beyond the Rambam. Over here, the Rambam that you have on the page in front of you is beginning in Perek Beis. Rav Soloveitchik explained in his Tshuva Drashos that Perek Aleph, the first Perek of Hilchos Tshuva, is a Perek that deals with Kapara, with atonement. Atonement is generally preceded or accompanied by Vidui, and Vidui generally is connected with Tshuva, and that's why we have a Perek that deals with the world of Tshuva in the world of Kapara. But in terms of defining Tshuva, that's what we find over here, in Perek Beis. And I quote to you in source number one and source number two, the first two halachas of Perek Beis. But with your permission, let's start with number two. Number two, Mahi HaTshuva. What is basic tshuva? Hu sheyazov achotei cheto, that the tshuva has elements that are inner elements within one's heart. That firstly, one takes upon oneself to leave the sin, yasiro mimachshavto, Yigmor b'libo shelo ya'aseihu od, that we have a Kabbalah lahaba, an acceptance towards the future, sheneemar yazov rasha darko, v'chein yitnachem al ha'avar, that the individual who is in this process of repentance, of tshuva, should have charata, should feel regret over the past, sheneemar ki acherei shuvi nichamti. And then the Rambam concludes, v'tzarech lehisvadot v'svatav, after the individual goes through these elements in his heart, then he should verbally, with his lips, lomar inyanot elu shegabar belibo. He should verbally express them in a confession, in a vidui. That's tshuva in a nutshell, according to the Rambam. Three elements within the heart, and then an expression of those three verbally as a confession. The Rambam, going back to source number one, begins the perek with a concept of ezohi tshuva gemura. That was meant to be the topic of the drasha. They just asked for an English topic, and so I said, "What is consummate tshuva? What is consummate tshuva? What is the complete tshuva? What is the tshuva that would go beyond basic tshuva? Basic tshuva would be tshuva 1.1. If you want to take tshuva on a graduate plane, you want to move it up a level. Mai ha-tshuva ha-gemura. So the Rambam states, Zeh sheba liyado davar she'avar bo. The person finds himself in a situation that previously he had fallen. Ve'efshar biyado la'asoto. And he can fall again. However, pirish velo asa. But he doesn't. He's able to maintain his balance. He's able to ignore the opportunity. B'nei ha-tshuva. Because he's a bal tshuva. Because he repented. Lo mi yirah. He's not afraid of being punished. Lo mi kishlon koach. He's not too weak or too physically unable to be able to accomplish the avera. Ketzad, and the Rambam gives the example, which is found in the Gemara. Sheba li shaba avera. The person had been intimate with a woman in a forbidden manner. Ula achar zman nitzyached imavu omeid ba'ava toba ubekoach gufo. That he still feels the same way towards her as he felt originally. He has all of his physical strength. Ubemedina she'avar ba, it's a familiar setting. Upiresh v'lo avar. And he's able to stand up to the situation and just ignore the woman. Zehu ba'al tshuva gemura. That is the consummate tshuva. V'hu she'shlamo amar u'zechores bar echa b'yemei b'churasecha. And then the Rambam continues, if a person is not in that plane, and he's only chozer b'tshuva after he can no longer do the avera that he did earlier, afal pi she'ena tshuva ma'ula, even though it doesn't have the uniqueness, the special aspect of this ideal tshuva, mo'ela tilo, it's still tshuva, and he's still called a baal tshuva, and even on the day of, on his deathbed, if he's chozer b'tshuva, that still works. But there is a concept over here of a tshuva gemura. And the question is, what exactly do we find in the tshuva gemura that was missing in the original tshuva? We would have expected that the original tshuva, the basic tshuva, tshuva 1-1, that consisted of three factors. Azivat achet, he decided he wasn't going to return to this avera. Kabbalah lahaba, he took upon himself a different way of life. Charata, he felt remorse, and all of that expressed in a vidui. What was added over here? He is simply living out that which he already accepted. He already had a tshuva that had been in his heart. It was meaningful enough to him to verbalize. There already was a ziva tachet. And over here, this is simply a pol hayotze. This is simply an actualization of that which he took upon himself. Why do we view this as an extra level, as a tshuva gemura? So there is a Rishon, Rabbeinu Yonah, in Sha'arei Tshuva, who relates to this in a very, very unique manner. He pointed out, according to the Rambam, there are three elements to tshuva. Aziva tachet, kabbalah lahaba, and charata. Three elements. According to Rabbeinu Yonah in Sha'arei Tshuva, there are 20 elements to tshuva. And these are ascending. They go up as one moves through. Each of them adds to the one previously. And if you look over here in source number 3, you see that he has two ikarim. He has two elements of tshuva that begin the same way. Ha'ikar ha-sheni, number 2, namely at the very, very beginning, basic tshuva, we have aziva tachet. And then number 19, when he's in the stratosphere, when he's almost on the top, he almost hit 20. He's at number 19. Again, we have azivat cheto. And what's the difference between these two? So he points out that the first one, ki yazov darkav haraim v'yigmor b'chol avavo, ki lo yosif l'shuv b'derech hazeod. He really, sincerely, wants to change his life, and he doesn't want to return to the averot that he had done previously. And he points out that this is a necessary component of tshuva. Without that, Misha Ochez Asheretz, and after the three dots, Misha Ochez Asheretz Uba Litbol Lehitaher. In other words, that you can't be metaher yourself. You can't purify yourself when you're still holding on to that which made you tameh. And only after Yaniach Asheretz Tchila, first he has to change his way of life. Achar Kach Yitbol Vehitaher. As long as the Sheretz is biyado, then tshuva is impossible. And that's the Aziva Tachet. He made a serious, conscious decision to change his life. And then we have Ha'ikar HaTshasrei, and this is what we find in the Rambam in Halacha Aleph, behizdamim lo, when the opportunity arises, v'hu b'tokef ta'avaso, and he still feels that same desire, still feels burning inside of him that desire to perform the chait. And he quotes the Gemara in Yuma, on which the Rambam is based. Ezo bal tshuva asher tshuvaso magat ad kisei hakavod. I don't know whether this is the language of Rabbeinu Yonah, or this was his girsa in the Gemara. But also simply says, Ezehu bal tshuva. Kasher nivchan v'yatzan naki ba'oto perek u'ba'oto makom u'ba'oto isha. In other words, he's back into the same situation. And over here, in the middle of the third line, kavash yitzro v'nimlat mechet. He's able to overcome his desire, miyirat Hashem ugaon pachado, that he's doing this purely out of a motivation, which is on the highest plane. He's doing this purely out of yirat Hashem, that he's making HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon his ratzon. And so according to Rabbeinu Yonah, what we find over here is that the Ikar Hasheni, the first Aziva Tachet, was a sincere statement. But there's no guarantee in terms of future behavior. There's no guarantee that there's not going to be a relapse. He meant it when he said it, but he wasn't able to picture the scenario he was going to find himself in. The 19th level, the Aziva Tachet, is when he finds himself back in that situation and he has changed his life to the degree that he lives in a different world. He lives in a world of Yirat Hashem. He lives within a world of Shiviti Hashem LeNegdi Tamid. He feels that Kadosh Baruch Hu at every moment of his life, and he just can't. This is part of his past. This is not part of his present and his future. And this is the Tshuva Hamagat Ad Kisei HaKavod. Namely, that he has his... we have no idea what his original motivation was to leave the chait, but currently he's leaving the chait because of Yirat Hashem. And then Rabbeinu Yonah continues and suggests, not always does a Kadosh Baruch Hu present an individual with this situation. So how can a person know if he's on the plane of Tshuva Gemura? He should keep increasing and increasing and increasing his Yirat Shamayim to the degree that were HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put him in this situation, he would be able to deal with it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would view it as though he was actually in this situation. And this is the highest possible, or number 19, almost the highest possible degree that one can reach in the world of tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah is seconded by the Meiri in his Chibur HaTshuva. He also learns that the basic tshuva is an aziva, which is a meaningful statement, but was never really tested. And then when one gets to a tshuva which is being tested, there the motivation must be on a higher plane for the individual to be able to stand up to the new situation. And what is added over here is balev, namely that the aziva is raised a quantum leap. It goes up to a level of yirat Hashem, which is the highest, most ideal motivation for tshuva. It's a very, very beautiful Perush of the Gemara, but it's not the Rambam. It's not the Rambam for two reasons. Let's look back at the Rambam in basic tshuva, number 2. After the Rambam mentions the three elements, namely leaving the chait and accepting upon himself not to return and regretting, the Rambam then continues, V'yoid olav yodea ta'alumot, in the middle, towards the end of the second line, V'yoyid alav yodea ta'alumot shelo yoshuv lazeh hachet le'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo uva'atzmo, the yodea ta'alumot, who knows what goes on in everyone's heart, is able to testify that this person is accepting upon himself a future with no relapse. This person is totally into this aziva sachet, namely that which Rabbeinu Yonah puts on the 19th level, that we're dealing with a tshuva which is not going to relapse, that the Rambam puts into the basic tshuva. What kind of tshuva is it if it's here today, gone tomorrow? What kind of tshuva is it if it's something which is temporary? In other words, you know, it's like, we say, L'ashamnu bagadnu, we're chozer b'tshuva on Yom Kippur, but we know where we're going to be the day after Yom Kippur. That's not a tshuva. it's going through motions. It's better from garnish, probably. It's better than nothing. I'm not sure. But clearly, that's not, according to the Rambam, basic tshuva. Basic tshuva is a sincere leaving of a chet totally without any relapse. Yoyed alav yodea talumosha lo yoshuv lezeh hachet lo'olam. Sheneemar velo nomar od Eloheinu lema'aseh yodeinu. That begins, the pasuk previously begins that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Me'id, and then Tzarech Lehisvadot. So according to the Rambam, in tshuva, basic tshuva, we already have this indelible tshuva. We already have this tshuva with no relapse. We already have this tshuva where the person is not going to fall back. So what then is the addition of tshuva gemura? A. B, in terms of motivation, what brings about tshuva? It's very fascinating. The Rambam doesn't speak about any positive motivations in the first four prakim of Hilchos Tshuva. He doesn't explain to us why this person is doing tshuva. Rav Kook, in his Oros HaTshuva, points out that you don't have to be Jewish to do tshuva. You don't have to be religious to do tshuva. There's also a tshuva tiv'it, that a person has pangs of conscience, that a person doesn't feel comfortable in his current way of life. Doesn't necessarily, in other words, there can be many, many sources of motivation for a person to do tshuva. Now, he may feel that, if let's say we're talking about smoking, that it's hurting him, and he doesn't want to be hurt, and so he's going to stop smoking. That's tshuva. It's tshuva from committing suicide. It's meaningful tshuva, but it's nothing to do with Yirat Hashem, nothing to do with Yirat Shemayim. It has to do with his ego. He wants to live, and so he's chozer b'tshuva. The Rambam doesn't discuss motivation for tshuva until he reaches Perek Hey. And then in Perek Hey, in the fifth Perek of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam all of a sudden brings up the concept of Bechira Chafshis, that man has total free choice. Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyirat shamayim. There are a lot of things that we can't have any control over. But yirat shamayim, that's totally in our hands. And then he begins Perek Zayin, after dealing with the concept of Bechira Chafshis and how that fits in with the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God knows what's going to happen. So if you look in Perek Zayin, source number 4, Halacha Aleph, Hoil Urushut Kol Adam Nesuna Lo Kamosha Biarnu, since man has total free choice, and he can choose to be a Yirei Shamayim, he can choose to override his desires to put HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will instead of his will. Asay ritzono ki ritzoncha, that a person has that ability. Everyone has that ability. Therefore, yishtadel adam lasot tshuva, the ideal tshuva, the tshuva that Rabbeinu Yonah spoke about, the tshuva that reaches kisei hakavod, the tshuva that has nothing to do with me, but has all to do with the Ribono Shel Olam. And in that parak, then he speaks about what are the implications of this ideal tshuva. When if a person is chozer b'tshuva, out of a love of God, out of awe of God, al yedame adam halacha dalad baal tshuva shu meruchak mima'alat tzadikim b'pnei avonot v'chataot sha'asa. Person should never feel as a baal tshuva that he's second class, that he's used goods, that he's messed up his life and he always has a blemish on himself. Ein hadavar kein ela ohuv v'nechmad hu l'fnei haborei kiilu lochata me'olam. If the person is chozer b'tshuva because he wants to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because his motivation is ideal, then he is, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, ideal. He is beloved. He is considered to be sweet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hug him. Halacha hei. Kol ha-neviim kulan sivu ala tshuva v'ein Yisrael nigalim ela b'tshuva. This is the tshuva which is redemptive. This is a tshuva that redeems the individual. This is a tshuva that will redeem, im yirtzeh Hashem, the entire world. Halacha vav. Gedola tshuva shemekarevet et ha'adam l'shchina, shenemar shuva Hashem, shuva Yisrael et Hashem Elokecha. That tshuva recreates a connection between man and God. Ha'tshuva mekarevet et ha'rechokim. It totally changes the perspective. Yesterday, this individual was muktzah machmas mius. Overnight, a person, the moment he realizes that he has bechira chafshis, that he can change his life, and he wants to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most meaningful manner, boom, he's automatically connected. kama meula malas hatshuva. Namely, the Rambam, of course, was well aware of what Rabbeinu Yonah wrote, that there is a tshuva that reaches kisei hakavod, but it's not in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. It's here in Perek Zayin. It's the tshuva that stems from the most meaningful adaptation, the most meaningful usage of one's bechira chafshis. In other words, that rather than his bechira chafshis would be to be a millionaire, or his bechira chafshis would be to be president of the United States, or a millionaire and president of the United States. In other words, rather than that being his bechira chafshis is that he wants to spend his life in unison with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he just makes a decision, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live my life as a good Jew should live. I'm going to be an Oved Hashem. I'm going to spend my life in Avodas Hashem. And that's the tshuva hama'ula that Rabbeinu Yonah spoke about. But the question is, what then is the tshuva that the Rambam spoke about in Perek Beis, Halach Aleph? What then is the tshuva gemura? Again, within the Rambam, in other words, Rabbeinu Yonah says that there are two aspects to the tshuva ma'ula. One aspect is that it comes from an ideal motivation, and the second aspect is that there's no relapse. According to the Rambam, the ideal motivation, that's in Perek Zayin. That's only the tshuva that comes from Bechira Chafshis. And the no relapse, that's already in basic tshuva. That's the Yoyed Alav Yodea Ta'alumot, that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that the person is very sincere. When he's Ozev, his Aziva, his leaving the Chait, is a permanent decision. It's not something which is temporary. The question is, maybe it would help us, do we find an example of this tshuva gemura, of this individual who's put in the same situation that he had been, and he's able to overcome the desire that he had previously? Do we find an example of this anywhere in Tanakh? We have Tzom Gedalia, we just passed, and we said Slichos on Tzom Gedalia, and in the Pizmon, Horesa Derech Tshuva, there was a litany of Bali Tshuva in Tanakh. Adam HaRishon was a Baal Tshuva, Kayin was a Baal Tshuva, Reuven was a Baal Tshuva, Achav was a Baal Tshuva, Anshei Ninveh were Baal Tshuva. All of that is in the Piyut, one after another. And of course, David HaMelech was the consummate Baal Tshuva, and Klal Yisrael after Chet HaEgel. But did any of them come up a second time with Oso Isha, Oso Perek, Also Makom? Do we find that anywhere in Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this situation? To the best of my knowledge, we find it once by Yehuda. Yehuda sinned to Yosef. He had a brother, and the brother, Yosef, was viewed by Yehuda and by all of his brothers as being a Rodef, as someone who is out to destroy the continuity of Klal Yisrael. That if Yosef would have his way, and it appeared that he was getting his way with his father, it's going to be the end of Klal Yisrael, for all sorts of reasons. And so Yehuda decided to abandon him. Just to abandon him. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu take care of him. It's not my business. Then we find Yehuda did tshuva, and he was presented with the same situation, with a brother named Binyamin, who created a situation in which he was Rodef Klal Yisrael, in which he was about to bring about the end of the continuity of Klal Yisrael because of some silly act that it appeared that he had done of taking a gavia from Paro. And Yehuda is at the same point here. He has the ability also to abandon Binyamin like he had just abandoned Yosef, and he didn't. He was able to rise to the occasion and protect Binyamin and speak for Binyamin, etc. But was that out of Yirat Shamayim? Was that out of a sense of God's presence? No. Look over here at what the brothers say in number 5. Vayomru ish el achiv aval ashemim anachnu al achenu asher ra'inu tzarat nafsho bitchananu elenu. They felt bad. They felt bad that they were insensitive, cruel, to a brother. It ate them and their conscience. It made them feel bad and made them feel guilty, and they felt that now they were being punished for for the, and they're chozer b'tshuva because of this bad feeling. But this is not an ideal motivation of tshuva. This is something within them. They don't want to feel bad. Yehuda himself, Ech ele mavi v'hanar inenu iti penereba ra asher yimtza atavi. Yehuda originally miscalculated what impact there would be on the on the fact that Yosef was abandoned, that he didn't return, on his father. And he learned his lesson. He's not going to allow his father to feel pain again. This has nothing to do with the tshuva of Bechira Chofshis. This is not the tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. And this is, l'chora, what the Rambam speaks about in Perek Beis. Rambam says that he does that out of tshuva. Lo miyira v'lo mikishalon koach. He's not doing it out of coercion. That's true. And he's not doing it because there's some physical inability to do the tshuva, correct. So the Rambam says what it's not, but what it is, most people do tshuva because they feel bad after having done a chait. That, again, that's what Rav Kook calls the tshuva tivit. It's natural that a person who is hardwired to be an Oved Hashem, all of a sudden finds himself in a situation which causes him discomfort. Think of Adam, the Rav writes about this in the Al HaTshuva. Actually, he said it, and it was transcribed in the Al HaTshuva and translated into Hebrew and into English. That there's an uneasiness that Adam HaRishon felt after he ate the fruit. There was an uneasiness that Klal Yisrael felt after Chet HaEgel, LeMacharat. The Rav speaks about it as though Avigail is speaking to Naval, and the person's conscience is speaking to him. Don't you realize what you've done? But it's an inner feeling that's not connected to Yirat Shemayim. It's an inner feeling. And so what the Rambam is describing over here is not Rabbeinu Yonah. It's certainly not Rabbeinu Yonah by any means. So what then do we have over here? What is the tshuva that we're speaking about? What's the difference between regular tshuva and the tshuva gemura? What has changed? The motivation not necessarily changed. The indelibility was there in the original tshuva, the lack of relapse. What has changed? So I think that perhaps if we look at the source of the Rambam, at the Gemara itself, maybe the problem will become a bit more pointed, but maybe that'll help us also in a direction to find our way out. Let's look at source number six. Source number six is the source of the Rambam and the source of Rabbeinu Yonah, a Gemara in Yuma Daf Peivav Amud Beis, Heichi Dami Baal Tshuva. Who is someone that we can speak about as being a Baal Tshuva? He is in control of his tshuva. Amar Rav Yehuda Kagon Shebos Liyado Dvar Avera Pam Rishona Ushnia. The Rambam didn't have that girsa. Benitzel Mimena and Machve Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda added Baoso Isha, Baoso Perek, Ubaoso Makom. That this is the source of the Rambam. But that same Rav Yehuda then continues with a second example of Heichi Dami Baal Tshuva. A Baal Tshuva, or the Tshuva Gemura of the Rambam, is not only the case we just mentioned in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, but also Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Rami, my Rebbe, Rav, he pointed out that we have two psukim that appear to contradict one another. On one hand, Ksiv Ashrei Nesui Pesha Kesui Chata'a, that a Baal Tshuva is best to maintain his tshuva undercover. Uksiv Mechase Psha'av Lo Yatzliach. And then we have another pasuk that says that someone who tries to hide his tshuva, someone who tries to hide the fact that he had been over Averot and was Chozer B'tshuva, Lo Yatzliach. It has to be publicized. Lo Kasha, the Gemara goes through two permutations. The final permutation, which is around the Rambam quotes, Kan Ba'averos Ben Adam L'Chavero, Kan Ba'averos Ben Adam L'Makom. It depends what the person did. A person who was Mechalal Shabbos, and then was Chozer B'tshuva, he shouldn't go around bragging, I was once upon a time a Chalal Shabbos, and I've now been Chozer B'tshuva. It's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's nothing, it's no one else's business. Masha Enkein, if a person had been over Averos, Ben Adam L'Chavero, A person was a CEO of a company, and he decided to streamline the company by firing people left and right without considering how many their loyalty to the firm, without considering their personal situations, etc. He was just interested in the bottom line. He hurt a lot of people, and then he was Chozer B'tshuva. So the Gemara says that such an individual, it would be good for him to go on the lecture circuit and explain to people what does it mean to be a proper CEO and point to himself as an example. I made a mistake, and I feel terrible, and etc., etc. And that's what the Rambam is posek in number 7. Shevach gadol lashav sheyitvade barabim v'yodia psha'av lahem u'megala averos shebeino lebein chavero le'acherim. He should publicize the fact that there is a way to properly live a life in Adam L'Chavero, and there is a way to improperly, and he began doing things improperly, and he wants to explain to people why that was wrong and how bad he feels about it. It was terrible what I did. I fired a woman who was expecting, I fired someone who was a single parent, etc. I really feel terrible. And if someone doesn't go ahead and publicize such chataim, as though he had always been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful business leader, ein tshuvaso gemura. Namely, that within the Rambam, publicizing one's averos ben adam l'chavero is on the same level as meeting up with a situation in which one fell and being able not to relapse. That the Rambam views this Gemara as two examples of Tshuva Gemura. We have the first example of Rav Yehuda, and then we have the second example of Rav Yehuda. The Rambam, again, implicitly says, if a person covers up his Averos ben Adam l'Chavero, and doesn't tell people that he had once sinned, and that he has been a Chozer b'Tshuva, ain't Tshuva aso Gemura. Ma she'en kein, if you were to publicize it, what's the implication is, that then Tshuva aso would be Gemura. But the question is, what's the purpose of this? If the purpose is to help the people who were hurt, no, that's a separate halacha in the Rambam. Look at number 8. Averos ben adam l'chavero, chovel as chavero. If you harm someone physically, mekalo b'chavero. If you hurt him with a spiritual curse, o gozlo, or you hurt his pocketbook, firstly, you have to do restitution. You have to point out to him that you're sincere about the fact that you regret what was done, that you realize it was terrible, you're so sorry, you ask him to please forgive you. In other words, in terms of the people who were hurt, that's number 8, that's halacha tes. The Rambam in Halacha Hey, in number 7, speaks about the Shevach Gadol for someone who's Mefarsem. What over here is the purpose of the Pirsum? Why is this considered to be a Tshuva Gemura? Namely, the Rambam has a source in the Gemara, and he quotes the Gemaras, but he doesn't explain to us what is the difference between this Tshuva and the basic Tshuva. How have I enhanced, what have I enhanced by meeting a situation and keeping my word? What is that enhancement? I mean, I knew I was going to keep my word. That was built into my original tshuva. I was going to keep my word. Why do I have to meet the situation? And what's the enhancement by publicizing my tshuva? Namely, that we've to a certain degree we've added to the problem. But maybe if we put the two of them together, we can come to a solution. And my humble opinion is that the solution is found not necessarily in Hilchos Tshuva. Namely, Rabbeinu Yonah tried to find the solution within Hilchos Tshuva, that we have two levels of Tshuva, an Iker Sheni and an Iker Chasre. That we're moving up from a basic Tshuva to a Tshuva to the Kisei HaKavod. In my humble opinion, I think that the answer is found not in Hilchos Tshuva, but rather in Kriyas Yamsuf. What do I mean by in Kriyas Yamsuf? I know that Pesach is the other side of the world at this point, exactly 6 months down the line, plus a few days. But we should be Pesach cleaning 6 months from now in Yitzhashem. The In other words, what is the issue of Kriyas Yamsuf? The issue of Kriyas Yamsuf is, who needs it? Who needs it? What was added by Kriyas Yamsuf? B'nai Yisrael had been in Mitzrayim. There had been a year of Eser Makos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed, via those Eser Makos, his total control over the entire world of nature that he created, over all of the laws of nature. Every law of nature can be undone, can be turned on its head. And the Ramban, the famous Ramban, in the end of Parshas Bo, points out how on all planes of, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through all that people viewed as having some independent existence, some independent power. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's all in my hands. I can do anything I want. B'nai Yisrael in Mitzrayim already were on the highest level of Emunah. They took the god of Egypt, roasted it, shechted it, roasted it, ate it. You know, it's in front of the Egyptians. They went marching out of Mitzrayim without provisions other than a few matzahs into the desert. This is a huge level of Emunah. What was missing that Kriyas Yamsuf came to point out? Mida keneged mida we already have in the Eser Makos. You know, it's all the Midrashim point out that basically everything in the Eser Makos was repeated. It was a second show by Kriyas Yamsuf. What was added? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need Kriyas Yamsuf? If we would have asked Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim as they were on the way out, could HaKadosh Baruch Hu tear a sea apart? They would say HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do everything. Anything he wants. He could turn blood, water into blood. He can all of a sudden kill Bechoros. He can pick and choose. He can do anything that he wants. So why did we need it? So I think my humble opinion is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us that he has many, many worlds. He has many spiritual realms that exist. Anyone who studies basic Kabbalah knows that there are all sorts of parallel spiritual worlds to this world. However, this world is a world of Asiya. This world was created in Sheshet Yimei Ma'aseh. This world is a world of action. Potential isn't enough. Potential was meant to be actualized. The fact that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could split the sea is not as meaningful in this world as HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually splitting the sea. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Namely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us a lesson. We're supposed to view ourselves as imitatio Dei. We're supposed to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zekeli va'anveyu. Mahu rachum afata rachum. Mahu ma'avir mehakoach el hapoal. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu actualizes potential, so also he wants us to actualize our potential even when it's not necessary. Even when we know that we have that potential, and why do we have to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I want you to actualize it. It's meaningful. It's what we call, in the halachic realm, Hidur Mitzvah. There is a mitzvah. The mitzvah is that which we have to do. The Hidur Mitzvah is taking the mitzvah to a higher level, not because we have to, but because we want to. We want, in the world of Ma'aseh, to take things one step higher, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, if you turn the page over and look at source number 9, the two drashot on Zekeli va'anveyu melt together. They segue one into the other. Zekeli va'anveyu hisna lafanav b'mitzvos. Asei lefanav sukkah no'ah, lulav no'ah, shofar no'ah, tzitzis no'ah, sefer Torah no'ah. Right? In other words, that we're dealing over here with the Hidur mitzvah. Kumus no'ah, lavlar uman, korcho shiroim no'im, abba shol omer anvehu havidomelo. Namely, the havidomelo, mahu chanun v'rachum afatah chanun v'rachum, mahu hider, with Kriyas Yamsuf over Yetzias Mitzrayim, afatata hader. Take things one step further, even again. You know you could do it. Fine, if you know you could do it, so do it. You know you can buy her a nicer esrog, so buy the nicer esrog. You know the shul could look nicer, so have the shul look nicer. You know the Sefer Torah could look even better, even though it's kosher and mahadrin, but make it look better. Take it one step further. That's what it means to be in this world of Asiya. And in my humble opinion, this is what the Rambam is saying to us in the world of Tshuva Gemura. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a situation that you have the potential to deal with, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to actualize that potential over the basic tshuva. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't create that situation, so then you have another option in the world of Enon HaMechavero of publicizing your tshuva. Namely, take tshuva is basically a very, very private act. It's something which is balev. And the vidui is l'fnei HaKel Baruch Hu. The vidui is between you and God. But in the realm of Ben Adam Lechavero, in that realm, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants there to be another step. He wants there to be a means of changing the world via your tshuva. Sometimes he will create situations to enable you to change the world, and sometimes if not, he'll give you, in your hands, the ability to spread the word, to be able to give a sense of what does it mean to be chozer b'tshuva. The lechora, if you look at source number 10, this is how the Ramban understood the Akedah. Vayomer al tishlach yadchel hanar v'al taaslo me'uma ki ataya dati. And it was the Kosh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu that now I know ki yirei Elokim ata. Now I know. So the Ramban points out mitchila hayeta yirato b'koach. Kosh Baruch Hu knew the potential was always there. V'lo lo yatzah l'poal b'maaseh hagadol hazeh. But it never was actualized. Ata nod'ah ha'maaseh. I want potential to be actualized. It's not that I need it, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By tshuva also, yodea ta'alumos, I know the person's not going to be relapsed. I want it to be brought out in the world. I want the world to be aware that this person is about tshuva. That over here is the tshuva gemura. L'chora, I think that this is pointed out in a distinction between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi in that which we say within the Sanatoka. If you look at number 11, we have the Talmud Yerushalmi in Tainus. Amar Rav Elazar, Shlosha Dvarim Mevatrin Es Hagzera Kasha, Ve'elu Hein, Tvila, Tzedaka, Utshuva. Right? Tshuva, tfila, utzdaka, ma'avirin esroa hagzera. This wasn't written by the author of Unasana Tokef. The author of Unasana Tokef is quoting the Yerushalmi. That there are these three things that are able to override a gzera kasha. Comes along the Talmud Bavli, and it changes it slightly. Amar Rav Yitzchak, arba devarim mekarim gzardino shel adam. There are four. Four. What are the four? Ve'elu hein, tzedaka, tzaaka, shini Hashem, v'shini ma'aseh. Well, let's just compare. Tzedaka we find in both. Tzaaka we find in both. We have tefillah and we have tzaaka. What has changed in the Bavli? It took the tshuva of the Yerushalmi and turned it into shini Hashem u'shini ma'aseh. Shini Hashem and Shini Ma'aseh is the actualization of the potential. Tshuva is that which the person has in potential. The Bavli wanted it to come out, that it should be that which is seen by Ma'aseh. Look at the continuity of the Bavli. What's the source for Shini Ma'aseh? The middle of the third line. Dichsiv vayar ha'elokim et ma'aseihem. It brings from Anshei Nineveh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't look at anything which was external, in terms of sak and ta'anit, nor did he look at the potential. He looked at their change, the change that occurred within their lives. Did they meet up with the same situation and were they able to override it? Could be. In other words, that was a tshuva gemura. Were they mefarsem to others that they had done wrong and now they're turning a new leaf? It could be. But actually, vayara elokim et ma'aseihem. Vayara elokim et ma'aseihem. That we have over here, that which the Bavli is pointing out, that we could take the tshuva and move it to the tshuva gemura. We find the same concept in the Rambam. There is a Gemara in Tainus that if lo aleinu shalof toch pel satan, if there's no rain for an extended period of time in Eretz Yisrael, there are various fast days that first only certain people fast, and then everyone fasts, and then they take the Aron out to the village square, and they bring someone to give Musar to the people. They bring the Zaken, Lomar Lifneim, source number 13, Divrei Kavushin. And what is his text? So the Gemara gives us his text. Achenu, lo sak v'ta'anit gormim, elo tshuva u'ma'asim tovim gormim. Shekein matzinu ba'anshe ninve, lo ne'emar behem v'yar elokim et sakam v'ta'anitam, elo v'yar elokim et ma'aseim. The same source text that the Bavli used for the form of tshuva, that's korea roa ha'gezera, this is what the Zaken tells the individuals. The Rambam quotes this Gemara verbatim, but at the end he adds three words, v'yashuvu b'tshuva gmura. Namely, that the goal is not just that a person should be chozer b'tshuva beino lebein kono. That's very, very important, and it's basic, and that's the mitzvah of tshuva. But there's a hidur mitzvah of tshuva. Mahu afata, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu actualizes his potential, he wants us to actualize our potential. And therefore, the Anshe Ninve, where it speaks about not the inner tshuva, but the inner tshuva which is now exposed. It's not a superficial tshuva. The superficiality is the saka and the tainus. We're dealing over here with taking that which is there, that which is really there, but just being able in the world of ma'aseh. Rachman Liba Boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our hearts. Tshuva is a mitzvah within the heart. But in the Olam HaMaaseh, he wants us to take that which is within our hearts and to live it. And to live it, that's the tshuva gemura of the Rambam. I just would like to conclude with a short statement which is found in the Zohar. The Zohar, in Parashas Noach, also quotes this pasuk, Vayar Elokim et Maaseihem, and contrasts it with another Vayar Elokim. Vayar Elokim ki nishchata ha'aretz. The Zohar wants to compare actions and actions. It's the world of action. Actions have an impact. They can have a negative impact, a terrible negative impact, like in Dor HaMabul, or they can have a tremendously positive impact, as in Anshe Ninve. Tochazi, come and see. Vayar Elokim et ha'aretz v'hinei nishchasa. Nishchasa v'adai k'mad de'itmar. We just look in the psukim what Dor HaMabul did. Hachinami vayar elokim et ma'aseihem kishavu midarkeim hara. Actions can destroy the world, like in Dor HaMabul, and actions like the actions of repentance, they can have a different effect. Deha kadein ara likras le'ela. That the actions of repentance, they can raise the world. They can take the ara, they can take the olam ha'asiya and raise it. V'salak b'sliku ila, they can raise it to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like a queen would wear her jewelry to attract the king. So actions can also, actions can produce individuals who are worthy of being bonin lemalka, who are worthy of being sons to the king. Yirtz Hashem, may we be zoche to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tshuva, b'tshuva gemura, u'b'tshuva me'ula, and be worthy of the title Bonin Zakoin Bamalka. Thank you.